I'm really excited tonight. I'm wired. I feel like as though I'm about to give a press conference here, and it's CNN already. But I'm excited that we women can get together and we can talk. I'm excited especially what I'm going to talk about today. We're talking about intimacy. And I was like, okay, you want us to talk about intimacy? Well, Ina is going, yes. And I was like, okay, what aspect of intimacy are we going to be talking about? It's a huge topic, very wide and broad. But I hope that by tonight I'll trigger some excitement, some fun, and just a different perspective of some new insights that I've come to really embrace just this past 2 weeks, I think. But if you look around us, we're a potpourri of women, you know, from the newlywed, young married with kids, mothers whose kids are teenagers like I, and then we have the empty nesters. So we're a good mix of women, you know, seated together next to each other, and that means we can help one another. And so that's really exciting. And you know, one thing I found, when you talk some things as intimate, as intimacy, you really get close quickly. when we came, I think about 6 years ago, Tracy Reynolds, we got to hang out. And I said, well, let's go for tea. So we had tea, and then I said, you know, let's go to Victoria's Secret. We became close real quick because we had so much fun looking at different stuff that we could do, we could buy and wear, and different things we could do with it. And so one of the quickest way you can get close to sisters is when you talk about those deep personal stuff. And really, because then after that, there's nothing else that you feel, you know, unabashed and inhibited. But I'm really excited about this topic and a little bit nervous because I want to speak with all due respect. And I pray that I'll be able to communicate what I feel excited about, and that I feel, if we embrace the things that are in my heart, I think it'll really transform us and transport us to levels better than yesterday. Amen? Amen. You know, I was reading this. Men are from Mars. Women are from Venus. You know... It describes this. It says, you know, this is how men and women are very different. And I think probably one of the biggest step to be intimate with your husband is to be able to really embrace how different we are. We think differently. We see things differently. We react differently. We perceive things differently. We feel things differently. And I think just we're just simply different. And different is good. If we embrace it and if we appreciate it, this is what Mars and Venus in the bedroom describes how different we are. It says, women are like the moon. Sometimes she's in the full stage moon of her cycle, and sometimes she's in the half stage moon, and sometimes she's in the new moon stage. Men are like the sun. Every morning it rises up with a big smile and says, I'm here. That's a huge difference between us, men and women. And I think when we embrace those differences and we love those differences and we appreciate those differences, I think our intimacy levels will really develop and grow, and we'll have a great time in just getting closer and closer to each other. I do believe that your relationship with God, and this is my newfound insight this last couple of weeks, your relationship with God has a direct influence with your ability to be intimate with your husband and the sisters around you. Because God wants to be intimate with you. And being intimate and close, God wants us to be unabashed with Him. And when you are close with God, things that affect our hearts get dealt with. And I hope I'll somehow be able to share my thoughts and my insights with this. But Christianity, if you think about Christianity, It enhances our relationships. Christianity is a religion of relationships, really. If you think about it, the whole concept of Christianity, how to relate with God, it helps us how to relate with one another, how to deal with issues. And when He is your number one most important thing in your life, when God is intimate with you, your most primary and most important and most dominant relationship of your life, that's with your husband, it'll be transformed. I want you to think about this principle, this concept, that if you're really close with God, your relationship with your husband will take a different turn. And we can talk about it in different ways, but I want you to think about that principle, that concept, not just tonight, but prayerfully for the rest of your Christian lives. And so I hope I'll be able to share the stuff that I've come up with. Hold a fist. You know what they say, and Dr. Andrea, you can correct me if I'm wrong here, because I'm stepping in territory that is not my forte. Your fist. Look at your fist. This is the size of your heart. This here makes me feel like a medical professor. This little piece of muscle gets affected and influenced by you. When your intimacy, when you speak truthfully, the first thing I think with our intimacy, when you speak truthfully to your husband, you draw closer to him. That's the first step of building your intimacy and drawing close to him. Your first thing to do, I do believe, is speak truthfully to him. Ephesians chapter 4.
Come on, Sarah.
Ephesians chapter 4, 25 to 27. And then I'll read 29. This little heart, your fist, needs you to speak truthfully to your husband. And it says this. It says, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we're all members of one body. And in your anger, do not sin, do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. You know, when you don't express your disappointments, your pains, your frustrations, your hurts, when you don't speak truthfully, and I'm not saying you talk with malice and with anger, but when you're not honest with your husband, it comes between you and him getting close with him. You can look at me and say, but you don't know the kind of man I've married. You know the kind of man you married. You fell in love with him. You went on dates. But I'm saying, for you to be close to your husband, you need to be honest with him. And sometimes we need to learn how to speak honestly with our husbands. Not with vindication or with a vindictive spirit, but to be able to say, you know what, this really hurt me, and this is how and why. Because sometimes when we talk with our husbands, it does not make sense to them. We speak one thing, and they're speaking another. And you know, one thing I've learned, at least with my experience, anytime I have a topic to deal with or teach, I seem to experience the very thing that I'm talking about today. I will tell you. Today, Arlene, you know, it's been a crazy week. I should say probably a crazy year already. And I've been busy. And today's my daughter's birthday, and so I've been running up and down, not only making sure that her birthday goes great, and we do a little tradition, making sure that the house is okay, and all of my different appointments. And so Richard said something yesterday, and I thought, oh, you don't appreciate what I'm doing. I'm running up and down, and everything, I do more than you. I know you guys don't feel that way, but I was feeling that way. And so we're talking about it. He says, but I did say thank you for doing all these things for the kids. And I felt, no, it wasn't enough. I wanted him to articulate his gratitude. And and we're talking about it. And so I eventually just burst out laughing. I said, you know, we're going to be talking about intimacy tonight. He goes, yeah. So I said, well, you know what? I just needed to say what. I just felt hurt. I felt you didn't appreciate all the things that I needed to do, running up and down. And then I had to cook a meal, like as though, you know, that was a huge thing. And he turns and says, but that's not how I felt. And when you're open and honest with each other, it draws you close to each other. And if you think about it, God calls you and I to be open with him. The rain lies my thought and principle, my newfound insight. You may have found it, but to me it was just a refreshing thought this past couple of weeks that if you are honest, your relationship with God affects everything around you. But for you to be close to your husband, you need to be honest with him. The other thing that draws us open, close to our husbands, is being open. There's a difference between speaking openly, speaking honestly, and being open. Jesus wrestled with going to the cross. Matthew 26. And if we struggle on being open, go to Matthew 26. It's okay to speak about your struggles. If your husband doesn't understand, try and try and try again. Explain to him, this is my struggle. This is what I feel. And when they hear your world, it draws you closer to one another. It makes him more sensitive to what you're going through. Probably one of the most attractive things about God that makes us love him, that makes us be moved by him and cry openly to him, is that he's open with us. The good, the bad, and the ugly. God is very open with us. We know God's heart. We are drawn to him. He tells us what makes him happy. He tells us what matters to him, what he hates, what he loves. He tells us his desire for us. He tells us what we need to do to be able to be with him in heaven eventually. He tells us the very things that we do that can make us not to get to heaven with him. The reason why we're so attracted to God is because he's open. Openness is very attractive. When you are open with your husband knows what bothers you. It draws you close to him. Goes back to your relationship with God. God's teaching us how to have relationships with one another. When you're open and vulnerable with your husband will not deliberately want to mess you up. But if you're open, I can hear the kids. But if you're open with your husband, it will draw you close. And he'll be able to express his frustrations, things that don't make sense to him, and you can be able to communicate. Jesus gave us that example to follow. He says, I'm struggling to go to the cross. God heard him, but he didn't give in to his desire to get off, step down from the cross. And when your husband hears your struggles, the things that even just bother you, Richard and I are different. I chat. I don't know about you, how different you are, but I know Richard is more quiet. You see him every day or every week standing on the pulpit. The man you see on the pulpit is not the man at home. He's quiet. And there are times, for me, I chat even the most, I have little theories and stuff like that. And so I talk. Sometimes I talk and I realize what I've said after it's come out. And I'm like, oh, that was really dumb. I'll give you an example. Somebody was painting, we're in Johannesburg, and one of the brothers had changed his tiles or whatever. And I looked at it, I thought, you know, what if it rains and the paint? And they looked at me. I'm like, oh, I just thought out aloud. And the target says, Sarah, what are you talking about? It's going to dry. And, you know, I do things like that. I don't know about you, but sometimes it irritates my husband. But to me, it's refreshing because I'm just thinking out loud. That's just me. My husband thinks through things. He mulls through things. And then later on is when he talks about it. Not with me. I might start 5 minutes later, I've changed my mind on something, and then he goes, what are we talking about this? And he has this confused look on his face. We're different. Celebrate those differences. It's the things that made you attractive to your husband. But you know, with time, they can be an irritant. It can irk you. I tell you, there were times, there are times when I would feel stronger about things that I'm going to Richard. I said, we've got to talk about this. Because with me, if I feel something, we've got to talk about it because it bothers me. Right. He's got to think it through. If I tried to do what he does, I would be miserable. And so if something bothers me, I'm like, Rich, can we talk about this? And I'm blah, 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 blah. And he just looks at me. And I'm expecting him to respond. And he goes, I don't know what to say. And I'm like, well, how about you just simply say sorry? And he goes, what am I sorry for? I know. And then the thing that I've had to grow in and mature is patience and wisdom. Because Richard would say, I'm not ready to talk about it now. Ooh, I learned. And it was like, I'm dripping. I'm like, we've got to talk about it now because it's messing me up. But you know, it taught me self-control, wisdom, and patience. We're different. Celebrate those differences. Embrace those differences and allow them to mature you and grow you. It's healthy. It's okay. It's God-given differences. Innately, men are not like us, and I praise God for it. I praise God, Richard is not like me. Because when I, and we're three women in the house. I'm not even going to talk about the PMS issues that we go through. But you know, be open, be vulnerable. I've heard some of our sisters saying, you know what, I just hold back on my husband because he hurts me and it's too much. I'm just tired. What happens is he just draws a rift, a wedge, between you and your husband, and you're both lonely people in the same house, the same room, same bed, and you know the world is waiting with open arms with your husband. Our husbands are great men. If women in the world could have your husband, they would jump up and down and say what a catch he is. And you know what? I'll tell you what's scary. I don't know if you heard about this theory of husband or wife in the office. I was reading some articles where they say it's okay to have your husband or a wife in the office. Well, there's that theory going on. And a lot of times you find affairs start this way. Oh, she listens to me. She understands. She's not critical toward me. I really understand what she's saying. That's how affairs start. And you know what this person was writing? He says, it's okay to have a husband in the office because it kind of balances your life. It is not okay. I was reading that article. I took a pen and I was crisscrossing it. I tell you, it's a scary environment. Every day your husband goes out and he's tempted left, right, and center. And he comes home, you are this woman full of attitude, you're all closed up, and your husband is feeling, what's going on over here? And he starts thinking about all these women who are flirting with him, listening to him, and telling him, he is such a smart, great guy. It's a real battle going on. It's a spiritual battle. Satan is after your husband. Be vulnerable. Be open. God has shown us how to be open, how to be vulnerable. God communicates his heart with us. Communicate your heart with your husband. This little thing, this little muscle here, is your most important muscle It affects everything in your life. If your relationship with God is not great, it affects your husband. Because you're not dealing with things spiritually. God is very clear. He tells us how to deal with issues. And if you're not dealing with them the way God wants us to, this heart will get hardened. It'll push God out. It'll push your husband out. It'll push your kids out. It'll push you out of your home. This little heart. It's an amazing piece of muscle here. That's why I told Mary Jo, I said, do you have a heart? Can you bring it? Because I think I need some visual illustration so that it can we can have something really visual and really think about our intimacy and really be gripped by the fact that, you know what, we need to be so serious about working on our relationship with God, which leads to us having a great relationship with our husband. But you need wisdom to communicate. You need to know your husband. Sometimes as soon as our husband gets home, we just pour everything on him and he's like, oh, give me time to just unwind. Yeah. We need to know our husbands. And when you know him, learn when to communicate with him. When's the proper time and when's not the proper time. Get him, help him to unwind. And you know, when you do this, you become a better person. Mm-hmm. You're closer with each other. And probably one of the greatest things I've learned is to state the facts and not the emotions. Yep. It's one of the hardest things to do, but I tell you, your husband will understand you when you just tell him the facts first. Yep. And then you can tell him the emotions. Mm-hmm. Like today, I said, these are the facts. I didn't say these are the facts, Rich. I said, Rich, this is how my week has been. So I counted, more Monday, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then I said, in between, when, you know, the smoke alarm came on, I was trying to cook in between, and then and he was like, oh. And I said, you know, when you asked for this, and I said I couldn't, and he was, and it was like, so he was like, okay, you, so you really had a long week. And in my mind, I thought, isn't it obvious? They just don't see it. And after I'd spoken those facts, and I said, and I've just been so tired. And so when you say this, I felt hurt because I felt unappreciated. And then he goes, but Sarah, that's not how I feel. I'm very, and you know, and we made up. So that was good. So the other thing that helps you with your intimacy is solve your issues. Solve your issues. If you could write your issues in capital, solve your issues. Song of Songs, it says this. Chapter 2, Song of Songs, chapter 2, verse 15. Catch for us those foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards, our vineyards that are in bloom. In any relationship, if you do not resolve your issues, resentment will build up. Your heart will become critical. He will never do anything right. Fear will reign and control and rule you. Your heart will harden. You'll become distant, unloving, and say, you know what? I'm just going to go and slide into a self-preserving, self-protective mode. And you know, it comes between you and your husband. If you don't solve your issues. You know this song, Hakuna Matata? It's a problem-free philosophy. Simba had his head in the sand. He was an ostrich. Didn't want to deal with the issues. You know, it's only found in Lion King. It's only in Hollywood. The reality is you have to deal with your issues. If you cannot resolve it, you and your husband, call in somebody who's more spiritual, more mature, who'll be able to be very objective and spiritual and help you solve your issues. But you need to solve your issues. If you don't, they will eventually find their way in your bedroom. And no matter what he does, you will not want him to touch you. You'll be as dry as a bone. And it's never right. You've got to solve your issues. The other thing that helps us with our intimacy is forgive. Forgive. God says, forgive as Jesus forgave you. Simple and pure and clean. Forgive. Clean slate. Forgive with no memory. forgive. You know, Aretha Franklin sang this song, I'm willing to forgive but not forget, because he really, really hurt me real bad. Sometimes, most times, we say, I forgive you, but we remember. Forgiveness is like when your wound gets putrid and it's green and yellow and it's oozing. It stinks. It distorts you. You're walking wounded and it's hurting you and you're just walking and it smells. And what it does is distort, and you cannot have relationships not only with your husband but with the sisters around you, because what it's done, it hardens your heart. It's like gangrene. When you have gangrene, eventually you have to chop it off, right? Gotta forgive. Otherwise, it'll affect every aspect of your life. There's nothing that takes away closeness, that sense of closeness, than a heart that has refused to forgive. A heart that is hardened. A heart that has forgotten and is refused to be influenced by God. Because when you refuse to forgive, you've said, I will not to God. I will not allow you to influence my heart. It all goes back to your relationship with God. When you hold on to that anger, that vindictiveness, that hardness of it, you've just said, no, God, there are certain things you can affect me and influence me, but to forgive? You do not know what this man has done. God looks at you and says, I know. Clean slate. Forgive. Unconditional. Don't bring it back again. Forgive. If you don't forgive, it comes between you and your intimacy and your closeness with your husband. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. You know, forgiveness is a cleanser. It's an amazing cleanser. You can do all your colonoscopies. You can do your detoxing. You can do all those things. But what you really need is forgiveness. It cleanses you. It's your cleanser in your marriage. And it comes down to your relationship with God. All comes down to that principle. I was really excited when I figured, it's like, you know, these shocks. Growing up, we had a private beach and we would go swimming, and I loved the sea. And at different times I'd say, Rich, I've got to see the sea, or I've got to see water. But you know, it's like this bunch of sharks that were swimming. And so this one shark is just turning around and around and looking. And the other sharks looked at him and says, what's going on? He says, you know, there's something on my back over here. And I want to touch it and feel it. I don't know what's going on. And the other sharks look at him and say, you know what? That's a fin. We all have it. You've had this all the while. It's the same thing with your relationship with God. You know this all the while. And sometimes we compartmentalize our relationship with God. But I tell you, if you allow your relationship with God to have an influence with you, it'll affect your most dominant relationship and affect the other relationships. It's key to you being intimate with your husband, your relationship with God. The other thing that helps us with us being intimate is trust, have faith, and believe. Trust, have faith, and believe. First, I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 13. I'll put my name. When you go home and read this passage, I want you to put your name. It's very convicting. It says, Sarah is patient. Sarah is kind. Sarah does not envy. Sarah does not boast. Sarah is not proud. Sarah is not rude. Sarah is not self-seeking. Sarah is not easily angered. Sarah keeps no records of wrong. Sarah does not delight in evil but rejoices with the truth. Sarah always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Sarah never fails. When you go home, I want you to read this passage loud and read it to yourself and put your name in there. That's what God defines as love. Not Hollywood. It's not an emotion. Love is an action. It says, this is how I want you to be with your husband. And I pray that when you read that passage and really embrace that and start becoming that, it'll revolutionize your intimacy with your husband. Amen.
Amen?
Some of us have become cynical and unbelieving that he will not change. Don't believe that our husbands will change, that he's even working on changing his heart. And so we figure, if God cannot, I will change him. And we're going to a frenzied mission. I will change him. Every turn, nook and cranny, you point out all the mistakes that he does. And I tell you, when you do that, you make your man insecure. He becomes so tentative of doing anything, making any decisions, because you have just been like at the back of, it's like you have a ruler and you're wrapping everything that he does. And so he's like, you know what? I am so scared of making any mistake. And so he defers everything to you. And so you take it up just like Jezebel. You wrap up your skirts and turn up and say, I will lead. And when you do that, you cripple your man. And when you do that, you castrate the manhood in your husband. And after you've done that and you make him very effeminate, you start looking at him and say, be a man. And you look at him and say, what kind of man are you? I did not marry you. We can be terrible. When we don't trust, when we don't believe that God can really influence and affect our husbands, we become little gods to our husbands. Trust. Have faith. Believe that your husband will change. Trust. Have faith. Believe that your husband will change. That will really draw you close with your husband. When he's struggling with something, say, I believe you'll overcome it. There's nothing as empowering as that. You think about it. Just think about your circle of friends. The sisters whom you're always drawn to. The sisters who always encourage you and say you're awesome. You can do great. And to those, the sisters whom you're always riveted toward. And when you're around those sisters, you feel you can do anything. It's the same concept with your husband. When you express belief in your husband, he'll climb the moon. He'll do anything. He will walk on the things that he needs to become with joy. But I tell you, do not castrate your husband. Castrate your husband. It affects your marriage. Trust. Believe. Have faith in him. It's empowering. It takes away the nagging. Takes away the criticalness. When you have faith in him and you believe in him, the negative talk, the attitude, the checking out when you're having sex, when mentally you're completely not there and you're just thinking, oh, be done with it, I need to go to sleep, because don't you know that tomorrow I need to get up early and go to work? You know what I'm talking about. I know you know what I'm talking about. And you know, when you check out, he knows. Because when he's checked out, you know. And then you have an attitude. And you get insecure and you're thinking, he's having an affair because I don't really feel him. It messes you up. Trust. Have faith. Believe. It's very empowering. And it works on your heart. Amen?
Amen.
Respect him. Respect him. God says to respect him. He doesn't say respect him only when he's earned it.
Right. Well, preach it, sister.
But for you to respect him because he's your husband. Simple and pure. He is your husband. Respect him. I'm not going to go any further than that.
Amen.
Respect him. The other thing that will draw you close is, in the Garden of Eden, there is no shame.
Amen.
You know where I'm leading up to. Oh, I will. Oh, come on. It says this, in the Garden of Eden, there is no shame. In Genesis 2:25, it says, the man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame.
Amen.
I'm going to repeat that. The man and his wife were naked and they felt no shame. Get help with your past. Get help with your past. If you've been assaulted, if you've been raped, if you've been abused in any way, if you've had lesbian relationships, you've got issues with masturbation, all those things, you've got to get help with them. If you've been involved in orgies, if you've taken drugs, if you've watched blue movies, pornos, all that stuff, you've got to get help. It creeps into your bedroom. It affects your intimacy. In the Garden of Eden, there is no shame. It affects your spouse, how close you get into with him. And you know what happens is because it's taken that innocence away from you when you're very young. And it gives you a completely distorted view of what love is. You've got to deal with those things. That's why, you know, they were naked. Naked. Nothing holding you back. Nothing. I'm going to touch another issue about being naked. Do not be self-conscious of your body. With today's image, I love what Dove is doing about, you know, that self-worthness of the girl. You are beautiful. If you need to go to a mirror, stuck naked, you look at yourself and don't criticize and do plastic surgery on yourself. You look at yourself and say, I am beautiful. You even take a step further and say, I like you. Tell you, insecurities. And I'm talking on really broad brushes here because we're a whole potpourri of different women in here. But you get my point. You need to just say, hey, good baby. There you go. You need to be happy with who you are. You need to be proud of who you are. There's no shame. Your husband loves you. He chose you. Right. He says, I want you. That's right. And you know what? You have this ring over here. And you know what you're telling everybody in the whole world? I do it, baby. That's what you're telling the whole world. You're saying, I'm doing it in the right confines. I'm doing it right. And I can do it anytime, anywhere, any place. And some of us are so conscious of the kids around you. But you have done it right. Your husband loves you. Your husband wants you. Do not let the world take away the beauty of Eden.
Amen.
There is no shame in Eden. No shame. If you need help, there are many women here who can help you. The elders' wives are here. I'm here. Many other sisters. And if it goes beyond us, we'll tell you, go get therapy. There's no shame in getting therapy. Because you want to be whole. You want to be healed. There's no shame in Eden. Practical things you can do. Practical things you can do to build intimacy. The first thing is pray. 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 In Mark 11:24, pray. God says, talk to me. I can move mountains. Pray. You don't feel horny? Pray. You're afraid of trying different stuff? Pray. You say, God, I am just so scared. Help me out here. Pray. God created sex. Sex is beautiful. If done right, in its right place, it's a beautiful thing. Pray. Pray when you're tired and you know. Because I don't know about you, but I can tell when Richard's ready to just for this day to be over. And sometimes when you and I are tired, you're thinking, oh, I want to stretch this day. I don't want to get into the room because I'm going to wait until he's fully asleep so that he just doesn't do anything. I know you do that. Pray. We have busy days. We wake up real early. We have kids to deal with. We've got cooking to do, cleaning the house, and we can get tired. And it affects us. And we're feeling, you know, I'm just ready to go to sleep. And you're thinking, oh, I'm just hoping he's not horny. And if you're tired, pray. Go wash your face. Go take a bath. Pray. Prayer works. The other thing that helps with build our intimacy is do the things that you did at first. You look at the remedy with the church that had gone cold in Revelations chapter 2. God's remedy to a fallen love, a heart that's hardened, intimacy that's dwindled and fizzled. God's remedy to that church, which translates to our hearts and translates to our relationship, says just do the things you did at first. Just do them. Not when you feel like it. Just do it. Imitate Nike's logo. Just do it. Just do it. Write him those notes. Tell him how cute he is. Tell him the things that you like him doing that makes you go, ouch. Tell him. Tell him all those little things. And you're saying, oh, I'm going to cook you your favorite meal. And you know. Tell him. You give him that look of, I can't wait. You know, I've got something better than football on the TV. He'll turn off that TV real fast. Just tell him. Tell him those things. And I think what's happened is with time, you've taken each other for granted. It's just become like something else. And all that fire is just sizzled. Instead of it, you know, really fizzling. Tell him. Do the things you did at first. You know what you did. In fact, you know what you did to hook him. Do those things. Take care of yourself. And you know, taking care of yourself is defined differently with each woman. So you know what I'm talking about. Take care of yourself. Don't go into bed and you're all sweaty and smelling of the day. If you need to put deodorant, do that. Brush your teeth. You know, all those things. You know, just take care of yourself. Do those things that you did at first. And finally, have sex. Finally, all have sex and plenty of it. Every day be ready to have sex. I was single before I got married. Oh, well, that's an oxymoron. Of course I was single before I got married. I was in the singles ministry. I was converted, not a married woman. And after my conversion, I loved the purity. How awesome it was to just be pure and to have pure relationships. But I tell you, I couldn't wait to get married. I remember thinking, oh, when I get married, I will never say no. In fact, how many times a day I've been waiting and waiting and waiting. You say that, I say it. I know you thought it. If you didn't verbalize it, you thought about it. You got your man, you got the ring, you've got the kids. You're not thinking, oh no, do we have to do this?
No, please do it.
Let me read you a passage. It's a good reminder. 1 Corinthians 7. From verse 1, it says, now for the matters you wrote about, it is good for a man not to marry, but since there is so much immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. The husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife and likewise the wife to her husband. The wife's body does not belong to her alone, but also to her husband. In the same way, the husband's body does not belong to him alone, but also to his wife. Do not deprive each other except by mutual consent and for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. Then come together again so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Amen?
Amen.
You help your husband to stay pure. You are a helper in his purity. You help your husband in not being tempted to even go to the internet.
Yep.
Have sex. Mm-hmm. Do the blowjobs. I will say it. We're all married women here. I will say it. Do the blowjobs. Do the touch. They like it. But just go like this. And do that real slow. You know, I'll tell you some of the things. I'll tell you. You know what? A bunch of us sisters got together, and we were doing some exercise. Exercise and different stuff. We had so much fun. It was more like jazzercise and I don't think it was electric. I'm probably getting it all wrong. But it really helps you with your bedroom life. And it was fun. A bunch of us sisters, we got there at the basement, I think once a week or something. We're trying to make it as regular as we could. You were pregnant. And you know what it did? It drew us close together, because we could laugh and we'd try different stuff, and we're laughing, and I would tell them, this is what I'm planning. The goal of all this is eventually, this is what I'm going to do to my man. But I'm not going to tell you. I'll tell you in private when you come. But, you know, talk to each other. There's a sister says, you know what? We've been married for more than 20 years. We just want to have fun with it. And sometimes I just give him a love pat. Spank him a little bit. Okay. I say, that works for you? And I said, so do you even wear a maid's uniform? Mm-hmm. You have to. You're married. You're married with your husband. Be creative. When she said, I said, okay, you do that, I don't know, but if it works for you, fine with you. But I tell you, be creative. Have fun with it. Try out different positions, but have sex. I'll tell you, it's a physiological thing with a man. He gets all full up and he needs a release. It's physical for him. It hurts him. It's got to come out. With us, sex is more emotional. You got to feel it. In fact, if this little muscle, your heart is not right, it affects even your hormonal balance, your chemical releases in your brain. It's a very intricate thing. Your heart affects everything. But do it. That's what Nike says. Do it. But here's my charge to us. Here's my charge to us women. Talk honestly with one another. And you know, when I asked this sister, it drew us close. I said, this week, I said, so what are some of the things that you do? And a broad smile came out. She'd been married more than 20 years. A broad smile came out of her. I said, ooh, you need to tell me. This other sister goes, well, I bought a what do you call that thing, a rod? A pole. She said, I bought a pole, and he likes it, baby. I was like, how do you put it up in your bedroom? So you know. Talk to one another. If you have issues, there are gels that you can buy. Talk to one another and have fun at it. But have sex. That's my practical. Have sex. As much as possible, have sex. Initiate. Your husband will feel fired up. Amen? And I tell you, it's a blessing that we're married. You think about two aspects. I've really spoken about two aspects tonight. Is your heart? My first aspect is your heart. In order to build intimacy, you need to speak truthfully. You need to be open. Be vulnerable. Communicate. Resolve your issues. Forgive and keep it clean. Trust. Believe in him. Have faith in him. Stay in the Garden of Eden with no shame. It's awesome to be married. Have sex. Plenty of it. Initiate. Enjoy it. Talk to one another. You know, there are some books I'd like to recommend. Song of Songs in the Bible. Read it in different versions of the Bible. Because some versions, it doesn't make sense with me. And I read it in the Message yesterday. And it made a lot more sense. But read that. Read it in different versions. It's an awesome love story. Song of Songs. Another book that I've been reading is Friends and Lovers. I've had it for a long time. It's really great. Read the Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus series. Tremendous in explaining. It's not very scriptural based, but it really helps explain the differences between men and women. Love Your Husband. There's a book, Love Your Husband, by Gloria Baird and Kay McKinn. The Surrendered Wife. That book is challenging. Oh, it rips you apart. The Surrendered Wife. It's a very challenging book, but it really works. Do the Dynamic Marriage series. It's awesome. We did it. We thought, well, we've taught about that and we've done that for years. We know all this concept. But I tell you, when we did it, it was amazing. Attend the marriage retreat in October. It was awesome. I'll tell you, attend the marriage retreat. I forget what Lisa did. This is what she did. She said, take your hand that way and then put your hand on his heart. And then she said, I will not hurt you, or something like that.
Yeah. And you look at each other's eyes.
I looked straight at Richard and I said, I will not hurt you. It had a profound impact on me. And I thought, whoa, the power I have to affect his heart. The power you have to make or break your husband. It's incredible the relationship you have. And then I thought I could end with these quotes that were funny for me. I thought, you know, there's always room for improvement, you know. It's the biggest room in the house. I'll read it again. There's always room for improvement. It's the biggest room in the house. The other quote is, if you don't change, we don't grow. If we don't grow, we aren't really living. If you don't change, we don't grow. And if we don't grow, we aren't really living. And there is only one corner of the universe you can be certain of improving, and that's your own self. There's only one corner of the universe you can be certain of improving, and that's your own self. And then the one that really had me cracking up, he says, oh, Lord, fill my mouth with worthwhile stuff and nudge me when I've said enough. He says, oh, Lord, please fill my mouth with worthwhile stuff and nudge me when I've said enough. God bless you and have a great time being intimate. Your husbands are going to be given this. It's building intimacy tests. There's papers over there. Please pick one and do what it says. Try out something at least once a week and do it. Talk about it with your husband tonight. It's really fun stuff. Amen?
Amen.
And I do believe it will draw you closer. So have fun. Have lots of sex and talk to one another and take care of that heart. Have a great evening.